completely forgot we were drinking beer today.
I guess.
Because what kind of episode would it be if we didn't have a nice cold beer to accompany the spooky?
If we don't have beers, we don't record. It's a rule we have.
That's false. Starting today, new rule, no beer, no episode.
So are you a stargazer, Britton?
I am today because we're drinking Pixelated Stargazer from Revision Brewing Company. The can is really cool. Cleet and I went to the liquor store together before the episode, and it's a nice liquor store.
Yeah, we held
hands. They refrigerate their beers.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
What kind of bullshit is this?
Never had that in Utah until I was 35. That's like such a crazy statement. I can never buy actual beer that was refrigerated in my state until I was 35 years old.
Well, good beer.
Yeah.
Because the gas stations would refrigerate their Coors Light.
It would be
their Bud Light.
It would be water with a tint of beer in it, a little bit. Watered down beer.
Basically. Basically beered down water. That's how it is.
It makes you fat, too.
How is it? Good?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I like it. Definitely had worse. Ooh. Definitely had worse.
Oh, have we?
Speaking of which, we are only 30 subs away from doing our clown trip, where we'll have an actual video of us going to the Clown Motel in Nevada, supposedly haunted.
30 subs.
So if you're listening to us right now, subscribe on Utah.
subscribe on Utah.
YouTube. Weird. We'll be going there pretty soon.
Hopefully. If we can get it in the next week, that'd be cool. All right, well, I'm actually pretty excited about this episode because we're covering something that I think we've alluded to a couple times. And I think we actually had a viewer that's like, hey, you guys said you're going to do this. Let's do it.
Years ago.
But I researched the mystery of the Winchester House.
Ooh.
That house is just so crazy. I want to go tour it. I think we should tour it at some point.
Winchester is a powerful name. And yes, I'd be down for that.
The Winchester Rifle. So, yeah, we're going to be talking about the history of the Winchester House and the Winchester Lady. And what are you going to be covering whilst I cover the Winchester?
Well, when I hear the word Winchester, I like to think of Western themes. So I'm going to be talking about ghostly abandoned towns. Ghost nice. Towns, I guess you would call them.
It's funny because when we traveled to Arizona to see my aunt, we like to... Well, we've done it once. We stopped at a bunch of ghost towns on the way.
They're cool. It's
really
man.
Cool. I didn't appreciate it. Well, let me rephrase that. My wife is like always trying to get us to stop. And I'm like, oh, I just kind of want to get to the destination. I've always been that way. But I'm so glad we stopped because we saw some really fucking cool ghost towns. From here to Arizona, there's a lot. Utah has a bunch of them. And we still need to go do the abandoned asylum in Tooele.
Oh, that'd be cool. I'd be down.
So once we get our camera, we'll do a bunch of spooky shit. Okay, so without further ado, we're going to jump into the mystery Winchester House. So the mysterious Winchester House, which sits in San Jose, California, is an absolute architectural structure. It belonged to a woman named Sarah Winchester, who was a widow of William Wirt Winchester, who was a firearms magnate. Now, again, if you don't know the name Winchester, you should Google it, because it's a very big name, as Cleet was saying. When Sarah passed away in 1922, the house and all of its curiosities became a tourist attraction. So let's jump into the crazy story of this mansion. Firstly, a bit on Sarah Winchester. She was born in 1839 in New Haven, Connecticut, and married William in 1862. Sarah was mainly called Sally after her paternal grandmother. In 1866, Sarah gave birth to her daughter, Annie Pardee, who tragically passed away only a month after her birth as she was diagnosed with marasmus, which is a form of severe malnutrition characterized by energy deficiency. That's sad, man. Having a one-month-old baby die from malnutrition.
It would break my heart.
Her family suffered numerous losses between the fall of 1880 and the spring of 1881 as her mother, father-in-law, and husband all passed away, leaving her with a rather large inheritance from her husband, which I feel like in a lot of episodes we've covered, when someone's family just mysteriously starts dying and then you inherit a fortune, there's like foul play involved.
Somebody's killing everybody else so they get all the fortune.
Yeah, but this, like, there really wasn't any talk of any foul play. Like, they just passed away. I mean, this is the 1800s.
Some type of curse, you would say.
But yeah, she inherited a lot of money from her husband when he passed. Her eldest sister, Mary Converse, passed away in 1884. It was around this same time that Sarah began developing rheumatoid arthritis, to which her doctor strongly suggested she move to a drier and warmer climate to help her health. So, at the age of 46 in 1885, Sarah packed up, headed out to sunny California, leaving New Haven behind. You know, I wouldn't really ever leave to go to California, but, you know, it's just me.
It was less expensive.
Oh, sure. Sure it is. Not wanting to move alone, Sarah extended the invitation to her three remaining sisters to move with her, all of which accepted the offer. Since the area was so new to her, a San Francisco agent of the Winchester Repeating Arms Company named Edward or Ned Rambo took her on a tour of Santa Clara Valley in search of a new home in 1886. They found a ranch containing 45 acres near San Jose. 45 acres of land? That's a lot of fucking maintenance. A
lot more than I could buy.
Sarah purchased this property from John Hamm, and on it sat a two-story, eight-room farmhouse. So I don't know if her sisters lived with her. I didn't really see anything on that, but just her in an eight-room farmhouse. Crazy. On 45 acres.
Kind of lonely, man.
She named her property and home Lanada Villa, as it reminded her of Lanada Alavesa from the Basque area. In 1890, Sarah's niece, Marion Merriman, who they called Daisy, who was 21, had moved in with Winchester and became her administrative assistant, looking after the business correspondence and the banking. They attended numerous charities together, including the Red Cross, and Sarah paid for her wedding in 1903 when she married Frederick Marriott III. She's just got money. She's like, here, I'll pay for your wedding. Here, I'll do this. Here, let's go there.
I need to be friends with her.
Yeah. During that same year, Sarah purchased several other homes and properties in Atherton, one of which she offered to Daisy and her husband to live in, which they accepted. Oh, you doing this? You're really putting this out there? Dude, one of us is going to be hurt. One of us is going to be so hurt. Yeah. All right. Well, pardon the interruption, but Cleet decided to throw a poll on Enter the Abyss. Is this on Buzzsprout? Spotify?
It was on Spotify.
So on Spotify.
From Stories from the Middle of Nowhere.
Okay. So Stories from the Middle of Nowhere, there's a poll in which Cleet asked a question, which is really important. Who is cooler, Cleet or Britton?
I think we all know the answer to this.
We do.
Mm.
We do.
Yeah.
We do. we all know the answer.
We'll
it's going to be buddy. Great.
We'll see.
Why'd you have to go farther? And do that? Why'd you have to go and do that?
You are
going to be so
you're
sad.
Afraid of the
you
truth.
Are going to be so sad.
You were afraid.
Why would
of
the cooler person be the one who can't read? Okay. So yeah, she just buying a bunch of houses. She's like, hey, here, you and your husband live in this house. Later on, she actually purchased another home for them, which was closer to the train station, so that Frederick could more easily travel to and from work. Due to her massive inheritance, and I mean massive inheritance at the time, other properties were purchased near Coyote Point, as well as a houseboat. So she had plenty of money to spend.
She bought a houseboat?
And on top of several other houses and properties. Like, just buying houses, properties, anything. Houseboat. I mean, she's got so much money.
I'm rich, bitch.
Oh, fuck. Hit the microphone. During their time in New Haven, Winchester and her husband picked up an interest in architecture and interior design while they built their home on Prospect Hill. She had an abundance of plans to expand her new farmhouse and wanted to see them through herself. She had hired at least two architects, but ended up dismissing them since all the planning she wanted to do herself. She designed each and every room one by one while supervising the project and sometimes seeking advice from the carpenters that she hired along the way. During this time, world's fairs were very common, and it was at these fairs that Winchester would get her inspiration for her home expansion project. Winchester is thought by some to be an architectural pioneer of her time.
Nah, she was probably just crazy.
So, I mean, there's a lot of theories. Like, we'll jump into a lot of that. But, like, it's crazy because she bought this. It's already, like, a sizable home. Eight-room, two-story house, farmhouse on this 45-acre plot of land. And she literally, like, we'll get into it, but she's like, yeah, I just want to just build and build and build. And she goes to these world's fairs and gets all these inspirations and, like, I don't know, we'll talk about it. But it's just so wild to me. Like, this is such a crazy story. So during the building process, it was a normal thing for her to completely abandon or even rebuild certain construction projects if they didn't live up to her standards. Over time, the repetitive stop-start-redo process of the building gave the house its maze-like design that it's known for today. In the San Jose News of 1897, a report told of a seven-story tower being built, torn down, and rebuilt a total of 16 times.
Oh, wow.
16! She's like, yeah, you know what? I don't like it.
Build it again.
Build it back up. No, I don't like it. One more time. No, I don't like it. Like,
shade of color was slightly off. I'm going to need you to burn it.
She was like... And I'm sure she's paying the architects well.
Oh, yeah.
But I'd be like, no, I'm not building this thing.
Oh, you would do it. Yeah, dude, that's like a free job.
I would do
it. Yeah, I mean, I have to do good because I just got to knock it down.
Well, you have to do good. Otherwise, you're going to have to knock it down.
And she keeps paying you, man.
Yeah.
She's incentivizing the wrong behavior.
As the house grew and grew, it was common for several exterior windows and doors to simply be walled off rather than being removed. Up to five levels were added to different parts of the home and its construction. The style of the home is classified as Victorian, Gothic, and Romanesque. It's just so crazy to me that they're like, that used to be an exterior window, but I don't want that to be the outside. Build another room and just keep the window there. So it's like just a fucking boarded off window that leads nowhere. And I don't know. It's fucking crazy. So before we go any further, let's go talk about some ghost towns.
All right. This one is called Accidentally Stumbled Into a Creepy, Seemingly Ghost Town. Still can't find it to this day. About 3 years ago, my boyfriend and I were big into urban exploring and driving around to explore the area we live in. We had just started dating at this point and had gone on previous adventures and escapades. However, neither of us had ever had something like this happen before. On a cool autumn night, about half an hour before sundown, we were taking one of our usual explorative drives around our county. We were laughing and making jokes, driving around and trying to find abandoned buildings to photograph and explore. At some point, we had taken a back road that neither of us had noticed or had been down before. As we drove down the road, in an excited bewilderment of what we might discover, we came upon a very small town. And I say small town, meaning a row of dilapidated-looking houses, an old convenience store, and a seemingly modern church. We started conversing, stated how neither of us have ever been to this little town or heard of it.
Those are the best kind of towns.
While driving down the roadway, my boyfriend and I noticed that there were no cars, no people, no lights, nothing indicative of people living there. As we passed the church, the roadway led out to a different road, and there was a large pond directly in front of us. We began discussing how strange it was that the town seemed empty, abandoned, almost as if it were a little ghost town. That's when we heard it. At that moment, the entire town was serenaded with extremely loud church music and church bells.
Hell no.
This sounds real.
Hell no.
My boyfriend and I both looked at each other with a slight panic and confusion. We decided to get out of our car and walk around a little bit. As the area appeared deserted, the music continued, which I can only assume was coming from the church, but it filled the town with such an eerie ambiance. I walked towards the church and saw that there was a sign near the entrance. Ironically and creepily enough, the sign read, Pleasant Valley Church. At that moment, I got an unsettling feeling as my boyfriend continued to walk around and look at the houses with great amount of skepticism. I called out to him, Hey, I think we should go. My boyfriend jogged over and agreed. This is really weird. Let's get the fuck out of here. We both got back to the car and drove away from this strange otherworldly town in silence. After a few moments, my boyfriend broke the silence. Well, that was weird. I nodded and thought about how odd the experience had been. Maybe we should see if we can find the place again. Perhaps it's just a little weird town and no one was home. Who knows? About a week or so later, my boyfriend and I went out. I love how she always prefaces that.
Yeah.
My boyfriend and I. Anyways.
She really values the relationship.
She has a boyfriend.
She wants everyone to know she has a boyfriend.
Went out on one of our adventures and drove around. We both decided to try and find the ghost town again. I can't tell you how many countless hours we spent driving around our county for months.
I want to hear it from his perspective, because he's probably like, yeah, this girl and I.
We're not together.
Yeah. My not-girlfriend and I found this church.
tirelessly trying to tirelessly trying to find this place. We never did, and we still never have. Neither of us know or can really explain what exactly happened that evening, but it always chills me to recount the story, knowing that this little town at the edge of the woods seemed to just disappear.
That's creepy.
That's a good story. Yeah, I liked it.
It's good. It reminds me, so the church bells reminds me of a series I watched on Netflix called Midnight Mass. I think I talked to you about it. Like, I know you hate everything I recommend. I genuinely think you would love Midnight Mass.
I'll write it down.
It's a series on Netflix.
It's really good. I'm telling you, dude, if I hate it, it's the last time. It's
Midnight, the last fucking time. Midnight Mass is good. It's really good.
All right, here's another story.
Ashantes.
There are two ghost towns in Arizona, Kelvin and Riverside. They were settlements from the pioneers, so I'm told, that were on the base of the Gila River. The river flooded once every 10 years, and back in 1993, the river flood took out 90% of both towns, and the state said that they are no longer going to fund the rebuilding if the town is just going to get destroyed in another 10 years.
We're not going to rebuild this because we know the floods are coming back, so just leave it alone.
I was a missionary in the town of Kearney, just down the road where everyone rellocated to if their house was destroyed. Oh. No. The people still own the property, but all that was there was a rotting foundation and an air that was so unsettling you couldn't wait to leave. I would occasionally make visits out to people who still live there, and every time I swear to God, that place is infested with shadow people. Shadows being where they shouldn't, moving in ways that aren't possible, disappearing and reappearing out of thin air. I believe they're the ones who didn't survive any of the floods and are trapped there as figments of their former selves. Since, as far as I know, we don't know where shadow people come from, if they're ghosts or completely separate beings altogether.
All right, back to the Winchester house. So, yeah, just crazy. Just building, tearing, redoing everything. So the house features a huge ballroom with multiple types of carved wood that made up the walls and ceilings. The rooms on the second floor have adjoining sitting rooms and sewing rooms. They had chandeliers from Germany, art glass from Austria, furnishings from Asia, and paintings from France. And it was interesting because some of the stories I read were she wanted a very specific wood to be used to build everything, but then when they built it, she didn't like it and asked them to cover it up with paint. So like 20,000 gallons of paint went into covering up the wood. She had an indoor garden with slanted floors that would carry excess water to trap doors that had pipes that carried it to the outdoor plants and flowers. An indoor fucking garden. I can't even get a third bathroom. Since Winchester stood only 4 feet and 10 inches tall, and with her health concerns, she had a stairway that was built that had 44 steps that only went 10 feet high. So 10 feet, but 44 steps. What? To get 10 feet.
That seems ridiculous.
Yeah, well, I mean, she couldn't really do stairs.
Did she have small feet? Is that what she was trying to tell people?
She was small.
They call me Tiny Toes. I have tiny toes. I don't like to raise them up too high.
That was her nickname, Tiny Toes. Yeah. Tiny Toes Winchester.
Tiny Chodes.
Tiny Chodes. She only went with the Tiny Chodes. Ay, ay, ay. The house features several different types of windows that had different glass types, shapes, styles, etc. Some of the glass, like they said, came from Tiffany & Co., which...
Wow.
Fucking, yeah, like, what glass. Do you need? Like, what kind of... my windows are Tiffany & Co.?
Yeah, they're...
28,000
carat. They shine bright like a diamond.
Yeah, because they fucking are diamonds. You have just basic bitch glass in your windows. I got diamonds.
Yeah, I put it in my pumpkin spice.
Yeah,
little shards of diamonds, and I guzzle it down.
Exactly. Now, again, a lot of the windows were walled off, as mentioned earlier. During the construction of her mansion, however, Winchester would often take breaks to rest. Sometimes that would last a few months. These breaks would obviously slow construction considerably, which counters some people's beliefs that she kept construction going nonstop around the clock for 38 years until she died in 1922. Like, some people were like, yeah, for 38 years... construction never stopped a single minute. Like, they just had crews rotating in and out to build this fucking place. At the house's largest, it had roughly 500 rooms. 500 rooms.
You're 500 friends, man.
Yeah.
Don't you have that many friends?
Nope. I don't even have five friends.
I don't even have one friend.
No, you don't. I fucking hate you. A college student named Bruce Spoon wrote his master's thesis on the Winchester House in 1951, in which he interviewed several people who remembered her. He came to the understanding that the reason for this massive project was to keep workers employed while expressing her artistic vision. So like you said, like, I'm sure some people are like, why do you want to build it up and tear it down? But it was literal, like, it was good employment. Like, if you were a construction worker at her house, dude, you had a job forever.
Yeah, you're going to be rich, man.
She's like, yeah, you're never going to stop building my home.
I'm rich, just, bitch.
You want to build a room? Go for it. You want to build a stairwell? Go for it. You want to tear out the floor? Go for
it. Put stairways out in the woods. I don't even care.
Make them a portal to the middle of the fucking whatever. The Winchester home took on some serious damage during the 1906 San Francisco earthquake. There have been numerous rumors that Winchester was stuck in her home during the earthquake. However, no evidence supports those claims. Since she had multiple properties, it's possible that she was at any of the other locations during that time. After the earthquake, she spent most of her time at her home in Atherton. The earthquake caused the seven-story tower and most of the chimneys to collapse. An entire wing was destroyed, along with the third and fourth story additions. Winchester had the rubble removed, but had little to no other projects done on the property afterwards. Several unfinished projects left the mansion with doors opening to nothing, where a balcony had once been, pipes randomly protruding from old window boxes, and staircases that end suddenly that once went to upper levels.
A staircase to nowhere.
Yeah, there's pictures where the staircase will go up and it's just a ceiling.
Dude, she was the first one to put random staircases places, you know?
Yeah.
We should build one in the woods, man.
Yeah. Yeah, should. You got woods near your house?
Oh, I got some woods.
Just go out and find some woods and start building a fucking staircase.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you're listening to us and you want to help us build a staircase.
If you're a carpenter,
If you've built woods, if you've built you stairs before, project, subscribe. If we get 1,000, we're going to build a fucking staircase. We'll build one in the Clown Motel. Like, why are you building stairs in the room? Shut the fuck up. Shut up.
Shut up, you clown.
But yeah, I mean, some of the pictures are weird because it's literally just staircases that go up to the ceiling, doors that will open with nothing. There's boarded off windows that will look into another wall. The house is just a crazy amalgamation of a bunch of shit.
A clusterfuck of confusion.
It's a clusterfuck of fucking fuckers.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
It's a fucking clusterfuck of fucking fuckers. Winchester and her failing health in 1910 caused work on the property to halt, except for the random maintenance job and the addition of an elevator in 1916. Like, it took that long for one elevator to be put in the house. She turned her attention at this time to building an investment portfolio. Mary Jo Ignoffo made the statement she was far more successful constructing an investment portfolio than a mansion.
Hmm.
Imagine that. I feel like she did a hell of a job constructing a mansion. It doesn't make any fucking sense. Like when Winchester died in 1922, the house had 160 rooms, 2,000 doors, 10,000 windows, 47 stairways, 47 fireplaces, 13 bathrooms, and 6 kitchens. Fucking 10,000 windows.
Where are those windows going?
Can you imagine fucking cleaning those?
Yeah.
I can't even clean my like 25 windows or some shit.
Yeah, I'm too lazy to do anything.
It's ridiculous.
Just lay around.
You what?
Just lay around.
I just lay around and get fat all day.
I don't move.
I've never cleaned a window. I mean, you have not. Look at that fucking that crusty thing.
Nasty.
Jesus Christ.
I just lay around all day.
I've never moved. My house is in disarray. Send help. I can't even leave. Have you ever seen the house? Have you ever seen the show Hoarders?
I'm stuck on the toilet. My flesh is fused to it.
This is when the house became a tourist attraction. The house was considered to be of no monetary value due to its state of disrepair. Like, just the sheer size of that everything else.
The upkeep would be a bitch, like you said.
Like, disrepair, like no monetary value. And this thing is on 45 acres. It's crazy. But a group of investors purchased the property and leased it to John and Mame Brown, who turned it into an attraction. They later purchased the house in 1931, and many room additions and deletions were made. Several neighbors of the house were a little annoyed with the idea that the house was becoming an attraction, and other superstitions arose around the property. The neighbors claimed that Winchester was clear-headed and more savvy with finances and business than most men were. Okay, so then before we get into all the weird superstitions and rumors, Back to you, Clinton.
Here's another story. I had an encounter with a spirit of what I can only guess was a female child in a graveyard that buried the dead of Cataluchi, a ghost town which is now protected by the Great Smoky Mountains National Park between the states of North Carolina and Tennessee. So to backtrack here, let me start from the beginning. This was about 5 years ago, and I was visiting relatives of mine near the park, and considering it was many years ago, the last time we visited, I had a pretty clean slate on things that would interest me of the surrounding area of things to do, etc.
That makes no sense.
What?
I have a pretty clean slate of things I liked. I wasn't into weird shit.
Quite a long sentence.
It was a run-on sentence, some would call that.
So one of the days, it was decided that we would take a day trip to GSMNP, since it was very much like my uncle in liking nature coupled with historical sites, while everyone else simply loved being in the national park environment. We eventually got to the park and went along the windy roads, stopping here and there to take pictures, but the mainstay of the trip was the ghost town of Cataluchi, being actually lived on by European settlers for just shy of 200 years before the community being vacated in favor of the park. It had a bit of history behind it, and to my uncle and I, it was heaven. Driving over there, I was with my uncle and my cousin in his truck, with my parents and little brother were in a separate car traveling down the narrow roads to get to the valley, when we finally arrived in a clearing, and my uncle promptly stopped the car. He turned to me saying, "You see that hill over there? There's a cemetery on top of there.
They call it Pet Cemetery.
Let's bury dead people there."
As opposed to burying alive people there?
Yeah, half alive.
Let's bury some people who are still alive up there.
I took an interest, and when going to sites like these, that if a cemetery was there, I would want to see it. Was cool to see me to either imagine of the personal history in the life etched on the gravestones, or learn more about them if there was information on them in a visitor center or something. Macabre, I know. Really? On the very top of that hill? Yeah, seems crazy to haul up the dead up on a hill like that.
Yeah.
But it was actually smart. It was to prevent in times of flood from the bodies becoming exhumed and drifting away. Yeah, that does seem to smart, actually. We should go check it. All three that were in the car got out, and we began to head up to the cemetery up on the hill, followed by my parents and little brother, a little bit behind us up the trail. The climb was pretty hard, even for the fact considered that I was pretty physically fit since I was involved in strict regimens with sporting training back home on school teams. So running through my head was one thing. Poor past pallbearers having to wake up this piece of hell to bury a body of someone they once loved, straining physically and psychologically with grief and the trip up. Most of us made it to the top except my parents. My dad, when he realized we were heading to the cemetery, he turned around since he hates cemeteries. That's a weird...
Like, Dad's like, nope, I'm good.
I hate him.
You guys have fun. I hate cemeteries.
And my mom turned back because she was getting too winded and was not that interested in cemeteries, leaving my uncle, my cousin, my little brother, and myself to check out the cemetery. It was relatively small, one at best, probably 20 to 30 graves and disorganized with how markers looked, with some being broken in two, with the top half affixed in the surrounding dirt, and others simply being worn heavily. My uncle and I, mainly, but a bit of my cousin and little brother, looked around for names and dates on the stones, just as a type of scavenger hunt on who was the youngest, or on the reverse, the oldest resident of the cemetery. And things like that. We had a bit of fun, but after a while, the fun subsided, and we started to one by one head down to the cars to continue on with the day. I was the last one on the hill and told my uncle I wanted to stay on the hill just for a bit of a moment of silence, which was a tradition for me to do visiting cemeteries. So he headed down, and I told him I would be down in a short while. He headed down the hill, and so I was alone with the graves. I was alone on top of this hill. To say I wasn't creeped out wouldn't be the truth, but the serenity of being atop the hill with a cool wind blowing below the cloudy sky and among the heavily wooded top calmed me above all. And the fact this was a peaceful resting place made it all the more serene. I bowed my head, ready to give my moment of silence. Then suddenly, a laugh. The laugh sounded like a little child. None of my relatives were younger than 13, so that discredited it coming from them anywhere. I opened my eyes, and since I was facing the trail that led downward, I could see my relatives down below still hanging around the cars. So it definitely was not them, since I saw all of them by the cars. No shit. I got a little concerned, but more than that, I was curious, so I turned around. On the far end from me, on the hill, I saw an orb of pure white light. Considering there was a heavy tree cover on top of this hill that made it virtually impossible that it was some type of illusion from sunlight, I looked at it more to see if it was a mirage. I stared at it for a little bit, and finally a bit later, the little girl's laugh again came, and it sank down into the ground right where it was. I basically ran down the hill with my heart racing, almost tripping down it in my rush. When I finally reached the bottom, I tell my parents what happened. Neither my parents or my little brother believed me, but my uncle did. He said sightings of events like this happen around these areas, especially at nighttime. But some cases have been reported in the day when it's really cloudy and dark, like what I saw. Although he personally never saw an orb or something similar, he did say that a coworker of his was driving through at night to get out of the park and saw around the same clearing area as we were in the dancing of orbs along the side of the road that came in the same bright white I saw, and some in orange and light blue too. What a well-written story.
A plus for grammar.
I cried. It was beautiful.
Okay. So it's kind of a crazy thing. Harry Houdini actually made a brief visit to the house in 1924. He was seemingly impressed by the strange layout. Some accounts even state that it was Houdini that suggested the location be called the Winchester Mystery House as the promotional name. So some people give the naming of the house credit to Harry Houdini. Isn't that wild?
I would punch him right in the liver to say thanks.
I'm sure you would. In 1973, Keith Kittle became the general manager. Kittle was a past Disneyland and Frontier Village employee. At his time of taking over, the house was in a pretty rough shape, so he had it renovated in the 70s and the 80s, adding a Winchester Rifle Museum. So, like, the house needs a museum. It needs a gun museum. He hoped for historical landmark status and made a campaign for massive billboards along the highways. The billboards advertised possible ghost encounters, which caused increased attendance. So this guy's like, hey, you know what? What's going to drive people here? Guns and ghosts.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
They should get like liquor, too. They should have a bar on premise.
I mean, it's in California. Might. I don't know. Maybe they have a vineyard in the back. You never know. As of September 2022, the house is owned and operated by Winchester Mystery House, LLC. The house and Winchester herself are shrouded in mystery and rumors. So this is kind of the fun part, is getting into like all the rumors that were circulating around why this actually took place.
Rumor has it.
Some believe that the story has been embellished to bring attraction to the home in order to make money, where others think that something nefarious may have actually been at play. So let's talk about some of the opposed myths and lore behind the story of Winchester. So I'm going to ask you, like, let's say your neighbor just suddenly started building his house. Stairways, towers, libraries, all this shit. Like, what would be your first thought?
Where's he getting his money?
Okay. Second thought.
A mental illness.
Okay. So you're actually not far off. Like, this is, people were like, okay.
Where are you getting your money?
So the house was big enough to begin with, and then she just starts adding on. Now, she didn't interact with her neighbors a lot, so they were kind of speculating. She's got a lot of money, and what the fuck is she building this for? Because it just didn't stop. I mean, construction was consistently happening. The first rumors and claims revolve around her inheritance once her husband had passed. So the claim is that she inherited as much as $20 million.
Oh, wow.
How much is $20 million in 1800s, Clean?
A lot of fucking money.
A lot of money. Earning $1,000 a day from royalties.
Jesus.
$1,000 a day in just royalties. There are claims that her husband's estate in 1881 was valued at $362,330, which as of today is roughly $10.9 million.
Wow.
This included $300,000 of stock that Winchester would inherit when her mother-in-law had passed, which didn't happen until 1898. So when you lump in her husband's Winchester Repeating Arms Company shares, she had 777 shares, which was valued at $77,700, with an annual dividend of $7,770 between 1880 and 1885. So she was fucking loaded. Just fucking loaded. Makes me so mad. Why can't I be loaded?
You hate rich people, Britton?
No, I just want money.
All right.
I want a lot of money. I wish I could buy a house and be like, I want 22,000 bathrooms.
I would like 10,000 windows, please.
10,000
and one. Your house is 1,200 square feet.
Doesn't matter. Put all the windows.
I want little windows everywhere.
Big windows. Medium windows.
No, tiny windows.
I want a mouse window.
All tiny windows.
The next rumor is on her move to California and the reasoning behind her building this maze of a mansion in the first place. In the book, Prominent American Ghosts, published in 1967 with the author Susie Smith, the claim is that Winchester actually visited a medium in Boston named Adam Coons. So the story kind of deviates here because one of the tellings is that the, you know, she had connected with her husband via this medium who was like, hey, you're going to have to go to California. You're going to have to kind of get rid of, you know, where we're living now. Go to California, build a house. And what you need to do is you need to build a house and keep adding rooms for all the people killed via Winchester rifles.
That seems ridiculous.
Yeah. So that's like the story that the medium was like, hey, your husband is saying you need to go build this house because Winchester rifles has claimed the lives of countless people. And you need to build a room for each and every ghost. Or you're going to be haunted the rest of your life.
Put a bunch of bunk beds in a room, like Jesus.
Yeah. So, you know, the story of meeting the medium continued to circulate in all the brochures and articles ever since. Some believe that it's not impossible that she had met with a medium at some point because it was a common practice for women of her status at that time, but there's no evidence proving that had happened. Even furthermore, several scholars had scoured the directories of Boston for listed spiritualists at that time, none of which were named Adam Coons. So that was never proven, but there are some people that's like, yeah, she met with the medium, and her husband's like, you need to build a house for them ghosts, because our guns killed a lot of people.
Can't ghosts just live outside?
I think so. Beginning around roughly 1895, Winchester began appearing in the newspapers with stories and rumors galore. Due to her lack of interaction with her neighbors and the knowledge that her money was coming from the firearms industry, it led to more rumors of the construction of such a large estate. Rumors that Winchester believed she would die if construction ever stopped made the paper as she feared bad luck. So some people were like, yeah, she believes that if she ever stops building in any capacity, she's going to die. So the only thing keeping her alive is the construction of her house.
Can't die if your house is getting remodeled.
Yep.
That's what my mom said.
Yep. Smart lady.
Yeah.
Smart woman.
Very smart woman.
There were articles published that countered these claims, one of which from an unidentified acquaintance stating that Winchester was an unusually sensible woman, and the claims were bogus.
I like to build.
She was unusually sensible. Way too sensible.
House life is about building houses for me.
And ghosts.
And the rifles that killed them.
You gotta build a house for every ghost that Cleet murdered in his car. Chicken
sandwiches.
One rumor pertaining to the abnormal structure and maze-like manner of the building consists of Winchester attempting to confuse the spirits.
Oh, yeah.
Rumor has it that she thought that if she could confuse the spirits and prevent them from finding her and navigating the house, that they simply couldn't harm her. All the random walled-off windows and doors, stairways leading to nothing, random floors and ceilings, all a ploy to confuse the dead. It goes further, stating that she would sleep in a different room every single night and would use the secret passageways behind the walls to navigate the house so the spirits couldn't follow her.
Good.
So people are like, yeah, she built all these rooms in this crazy house so that the ghosts couldn't find her and track her down so they couldn't harm her. It's like, no.
She got those spirits. Dumbasses.
Yeah. So there was a bell tower on the property as well that was used to call the workmen and serve as a fire alarm. Some people said it was used to summon spirits. She had a fucking summoning spirit bell tower.
So she summoned the spirits just to hide from them.
To hide from them.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is checking out.
Yeah, it gets even more crazy. Some residents often claim to hear ghostly music coming from the house, which gave it an ominous feel.
What's ghostly music?
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh.
Just music that just happens to be playing. Like, someone can't just spontaneously do it. So it's said that Winchester would play the pump organ in the grand ballroom when she couldn't sleep. So she would just be playing the organ and people are like, music is haunted. It's a fucking organ. Get over it. Others would claim that she had parties for the spirits in her house. She would serve up food on gold plates.
Dude, I have spirits at my parties all the time.
Bust out the gold china, man. What are you doing?
Get the gold slogger out.
Just fucking roll out the red carpet for your ghosts.
I eat them.
Good. Treat your ghosts with respect, Cleet.
Yeah.
Freaking
bits of gold in
yourself. Chris is living here, and what do you do for him? Ever.
I haven't heard from Chris in a while. I think he left.
Yeah, because you never treated to him.
I think I pissed him off.
You never took care of him. Where's the gold cutlery, man?
Gold cutlery.
But when she passed and they opened the safe, no gold plates were ever found. So, you know, the rumor train just keeps on rolling. Rumors also circulated more and more when Winchester began declining rapidly in health, meaning that her interactions declined even more. This led to the belief that she was superstitious and reclusive, leading several to think that she was up to something crazy with her construction. Her relatives and employees all countered the accusations, and all of the employees were named as beneficiaries in her will.
Oh, wow.
All of her employees were named beneficiaries.
You can have one window.
She took care of everybody. So there's a huge rumor with the number 13 in the Winchester house as well. The lore mentions that the inclusion of 13 bedrooms, 13 bathrooms, and 13 windows in certain rooms were all due to Winchester's fascination with the number 13. This, again, was countered by carpenter James Perkins, who claimed that several of those were built after her death and had nothing to do with the supposed fascination with the number 13. Urban legends also circulate about nightly seances at the household, where Winchester would go into the blue room or in a closet all by herself to talk to spirits from midnight until 2 in the morning. So she's summoning these spirits, yet again, like you said, she's trying to hide from them because they don't want to harm her. So like all these rumors are like just eating themselves alive.
Yeah.
Supposedly, she would ask the ghosts what she should build the following day. She's like, ghost, what should I build in my house tomorrow? Do you think a pool room?
More windows.
Do you want another bar?
More windows.
I need 10,000 more windows. More double the windows.
Bitch.
That's a robot, dude. What are you talking about? This was again countered by the staff, who spent every single day with her, stating that she had no interest in seances. At this time, seances were also done as a social event and not alone, and records show that the blue room was in the gardener's bedroom. So she's in the gardener's bedroom supposedly doing seances.
Quite.
So with the house being a tourist attraction, this brings arguably the highest volume of rumors and sightings. So there's several people that tour the house that claim to feel cold spots, hear footsteps, cooking smells, whispering, doors and windows slamming shut, and overall feelings of being watched. I mean, there are 10,000 fucking doors in this place. There's going to be one that slams.
Yeah, probably. That makes sense.
People,
architect fucked up.
Yeah, people claim to see shadows at the end of hallways or in windows, hear voices calling out to them for help, etc. But that is the Winchester house. So yeah,
that's spooky.
There's always a question of, like, you know, what was the actual motive of her doing it? Because some people are like, look, she just wanted to employ all these workers and just live out her days expressing her creativity, and she just couldn't get it right. But it is just weird to me that she had one property that she just continually added on to.
I think I'm going to start doing that.
And it's just like, yeah, you know what? I don't like that. Just wall it off and start again.
I want to build more house.
You should.
Yeah.
I'll help you.
Well, I have a yard.
Just but like, if I had enough money to just randomly throw shit into a house, I'd have the bitchin' house.
My house needs 4 more staircases.
At least.
One to heaven.
I'd have like 16 bars, 50,000 windows.
The other's dead.
I'd have an elevator that goes into a bathroom only.
I just want bathrooms.
I'd have some ropes with you. You just have bathrooms.
I don't even need rooms. I'm just going to have a bathroom. Urinals everywhere.
Okay. Well, that is going to wrap us up for the evening. Thank you very much for tuning in for the Winchester House and Ghost Stories of Ghost Towns. Thank you very much to our paid supporters of the show, Modelo Time, Cleet Meat, Claytor Lord of Soup, Curtis and Lara, Mothman, Devin, Lara, Conklin Family, and Lou. It's really hard to say Cleet Meat with a straight face.
Yeah, who's Cleet's Meat?
It's not Cleet's Meat. It's just Cleet Meat.
What is Cleet Meat?
I would be careful of the questions that you ask. I would ask.
Or it's
I would
me
be
being
careful.
Ground up into some type of beef.
But thank you very much for the continued support. As Cleet mentioned earlier in the episode, we are only 30 subscribers away from visiting Nevada and the Clown Motel all on camera. I know we continually talk about it, but once we hit that 500 mark, we are going, and you can watch the entire thing unfold. And you can definitely help us out by spreading us out there. I'll let you go into your thing.
If you're listening to us on YouTube, please like, share, and subscribe, as it really helps get us out there. And as always, thank you for entering the abyss.
Until next time.